Okay, please help me welcome our speaker tonight. His name is Brian L. from Boston.
Hi, my name is Brian. I'm an alcoholic. If y'all don't mind, I'd just like to take just a quick moment of silence just to kind of get connected. That doesn't do much for the recording, but it does a lot for us. Again, like I said, my name is Brian. I'm an alcoholic. I belong to the Weymouth Old South Union Group in Weymouth, Massachusetts. I also belong to the There's a Solution Group on Saturday nights in South Boston. It's an honor and a privilege to be here tonight, to be able to share at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and just to be able to try to carry a message. I'd like to thank your group for inviting me to come down to be a part of this deal. I'll get ripped in a second. I just need to say that this is a beautiful place around here. I've never really been around Pennsylvania, and it is just awesome. I was in Pennsylvania back in 95 for the Dead, and I didn't make it out of the parking lots, so it's like, it's really, really cool to actually see stuff, you know? It's a really, really good deal. Driving by the Spectrum, it was a little hard to swallow. I'm a Bruins fan. Yeah, you all can laugh. But this is really a cool deal. Thank you so much. So, why am I here? I'm here because God has a purpose for me. You know, plain and simple. You know, I'm not up at this podium tonight to look good, to sound good, to try to have a good share and impress people. Like, my purpose tonight is just to carry a message of hope, you know, to share my experience, to share with y'all what worked for me, you know, what's my experience, you know, to share what got me from a place of powerlessness and hopelessness to a place where I am right now in this moment, where I have power. You know, I have a power working in my life right now, you know, and I'm not hopeless, you know. So what worked and what continues to work? share my experience, strength, and hope. I wasn't, you know, my upbringing was fairly normal. You know, my mother and father were an alcoholic. My little sister's not an alcoholic. I went to school. I finished school. I went to high school. Finished high school. You know, everything was fine and dandy. Nothing on the outside caused me to be alcoholic. You know? But what I've learned is that, by being around Alcoholics Anonymous and by doing step work and character building and taking a look at self, I've learned some things. You know, we talk about this mental obsession, and we talk about alcoholism starts before we take a drink. Alright, sorry. trying to get off the mic. I suffered from mental obsession, and I suffered from that stuff long before I took a drink. You know, I was addicted to stuff before I put a drink or a drug in my system. You know, my first obsession was probably skateboarding. Still is today. That's one thing I'm not willing to give up yet, I guess you could say. But that was one of the things that got me off. It was the thing that took me out of self, and I didn't have to be with me. You know what I mean? It's like, and I got out of self, and I was able to do that. You know, and I excelled in it a little bit, and I had a good time with it, and it consumed me. You know, another obsession of mine was relationship. The first relationship I got in, I stayed in for 4 years, 4.5 years. I was a little kid in a relationship, you know what I mean? But it consumed me. It kept me out of self, you know? And I was consumed by that, trying to control, trying to manage that, you know? Eventually the time came to take a drink. And the skateboarding, it was good power, but it wasn't enough to keep me. You know, relation was a good power, but I'd try to manage and control, and I would lose it. It wasn't enough to keep me. You know, and I took a drink, and it was just like, bam, that power happened. It happened. You know, impacting moment in my life. I remember where I was, who I was with, what I drank. You know, on the surface, it just seemed like a very simple night. I was feeling bad for myself. You know, the relationship split up. I'm in college. I'm hanging out with kids that I don't know really. And they were like, "Let's go to a club. Come on, we need to get you out of yourself. Let's go to a club. Let's go dancing." And it's like, I've never been to a club before. I've never been dancing. The only time I've been to clubs is for hardcore shows. So it's like going to dance. Like, I have no clue what I'm going to do, but I just went along for the ride. And we're driving down to Boston. We get into town. We park, and it's like, boom! They crack the bottle, and the bottle starts getting passed around the car. It was Cinnamon Schnapps Fire Water, and it's just like, boom! Take a hit out. And I remember drinking, and I was just like, I was kind of scared, you know. I was just like, oh, I don't want to get out of control, you know. It's like, I need to be in control. I need to know everything that's going on. And I remember taking a hit off the bottle. I'm like, that wasn't so bad. Comes around my way again. Oh, just one more. You know, it's like the craving already set in, you know. It's like the ball comes around. Oh, just one more. You know, it's like the ball. Oh, it's here again, you know. How soon? And I was welcoming it by like the fifth, you know, by the fifth belt. It was just like, is there any more? But to me, it was just like, I'll take a few hits off the bottle. I got out of the car and I was loose. And I walked into that club, and it's like I've been there 1,000 times. And I got on that dance floor, and God only knows what that looked like. But you know what? It's like I had a good time that night. It's like alcohol was power. My friend Dave says it. You know, the quickest relief for alcoholism, just that alcohol. You know. That relieved my alcoholism. That relieved all that fear, all that self-centered fear, all that, like, that feeling of uselessness. It's like the promises were coming true in my life by having some drinks. That spiritual awakening, how my spirit was fired up, you know? And that's how it was. You know, after that incident, you know, I took to alcohol. I enjoyed it. You know, I liked it a lot. And, I know this is Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'll stick to the traditions, but outside issues were also in my story. And I took to that stuff alcoholically. You know? And it got me to that place. It got me to that place where I just felt right. And everything was okay. And I could be at harmony with the people around me. You know? And I didn't have to feel less than. You know, it's like, geez, sometimes I felt better then. You know what I mean? It's like, it's strange what alcohol can do to the alcoholic. You know, it has power to change my reality. You know? I think normal drinkers have a few drinks, go through their deal, and then they wrap it up, and they show up. You know what I mean? It's like, they have a long night, and then they can show up the next day. I don't know if it changes their reality or not, but I know for me, like, my reality was changed. And something set up on the inside, which is that mental obsession, which just said, you know, drink alcohol and you get right. Do other things and you get right. There's no other way to live. What is it? In the doctor's opinion, it talks about my alcoholic life becomes my only normal way of life. It's what made sense to me. I can't differentiate the truth from the false anymore. To me, drinking alcohol and doing drugs is the way to go. That's the hand that I was dealt, and I'm going to play it. And I had a lot of good times. You know, alcohol worked for a long, long time. You know, and right up until about the point where it didn't. All of a sudden, I started to feel that restlessness and that irritability again. Should have wore a short sleeve. I started to feel restless. I started to feel irritable. It just didn't really seem like it was enough. And we all know what happens when we can't get enough. If you're alcoholic, you go for more. Why not? It seems like it makes sense. And I just started to shoot for more and more and more. And in my quest for more, I started to hurt myself and I started to hurt others around me. In my quest for more, my relationship with my family started to fall apart. We just couldn't quite see eye to eye anymore. They didn't really understand me anymore. What are they so uptight about? You know? In the quest for more, my college education, I'll go back next semester. You know, I want to work, I want to make some money, I'm growing up, I'm a man now. You know? The lies that I told myself, you know what I mean? And, what happened to me was I started to make a series of decisions which just started to damage me. Really started to damage me and do a number on others around me. All for the sake of drinking like the way I want to drink, you know? And eventually, like, work would get in the way, so I would just stop showing up for work. Eventually, mom and dad would get in the way, so I would just pack up and leave home. You know, like I said, a friend of mine was on Dead Tour. He was like, let's go hit tour. You can drink and get, you can get drunk and get high for free. I'm like, sign me up. Sign me up. I'm 20 years old. I tell my mom and dad, hey, I'm hitting the road. And they're shattered. They're like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, what, you guys don't understand? I mean, the self-centeredness. I mean, it's like, and that was to be my path for a little while. You know, for the next couple of years, that was to be my path. You know, I was to come in and out of people's lives like that tornado, just whirlwinding through and just leveling people. And I was just so, I was just so much in delusion that I couldn't see it. You know, because the truth to me was, is that they don't understand. The truth to me was that they're jealous. The truth to me was, is that, man, if they were in my shoes, then they'd understand the pain that I'm in. Oh, come on. And I can look back and see it now and just see that it's a bunch of crap. It's a bunch of crap. You know, it's the best thing, and I used to be guilty of saying it in meetings, when I used to sit there and say, geez, you know, when I was out there, you know, I don't really think I hurt too many people. I was the one that had the habit, you know. They don't understand the pain that I was going in, you know. Or the other good thing is when I used to sit there and say, when I was out there, I used to help so many other people. Now it's time to come into Alcoholics Anonymous and help myself. I mean, what a load of crap. I mean, but I'm not going to go off on that. Not yet. My life continued to get worse. The quality of my life just kept on getting less and less and less, and I kept on just lowering my standards to try to fit into that. You know, to the point of a couple of rounds of homelessness, getting evicted from an apartment. One of my apartments, I moved in, we put down the first and last, and I lasted the first and last. And it was just like, out you go, you know? And then we started squatting, breaking in, and I mean, it's just, what a mess. What a messy way to try to live. And, you know, Mom and Dad let me back in the fall, you know, fall of 96, winter of 97. Mom and Dad let me back in, and I made another promise. And I said, you know what, I'm really going to try to do right this time. I'm going to get a full-time job. I'm going to work. I'm going to do the right thing. And, man, I meant it. Like, I meant it. If you hooked me up to a lie detector test, it would say he's telling the truth. He's going to do right. He's going to make a change. But that's the thing. I'm going to make a change. Like, I got no say in it. When there's drink in my system, like, I got no say in this. I've lost the power to choose whether I'm going to drink or not a long time ago. But the delusion that I lived under was is that I still think I can control and maintain. I still think I can shut it off. And not realizing that I lack the power to shut off. Because if I'm not drinking, or if I'm not using the thing that I really want to use, my mind is still a prisoner to that. And when I finally put just a little bit inside to get some ease and comfort, I'm off to the races, and physically, I'm attached to it again. So I'm a prisoner to the drink and the drug, whether I'm using or not. But I don't see that, and I don't understand that. And I remember laughing with my friends saying, oh yeah, I'm alcoholic, I'm drug addict, and just laughing about it and saying like, oh, I need something in my system all the time. And that's what I think what makes me drug addict and alcoholic. See, I think hanging out around Lowell and Lawrence too much is what makes me alcoholic. I think it's the people that I hang out with is what makes me alcoholic. And I just don't see it. And it took me a long time to see that. Winter of 97, spring of 97, I get back into a run again because I can't control it. And in the summer of 1997, I get introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous through a detox. And I went into that detox not for the sake of getting sober. I had no desire to be sober. See, I was going to detox so I can kick the other stuff, and when I get out of detox, that way I can go back to the old days when I used to be able to control it. It made sense to me. I don't know. Maybe that's some of your experience too. But it made sense to me. And I went into that detox, and they're talking about total abstinence. They're talking about joining a group, going to meetings, sober friends, a sponsor. And I'm just like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, 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 no. That's great for you, but that's not for me. See, I don't need that stuff. And in the detox, I'm listening to people's stories, and I'm listening to people shoot the breeze about how many years in jail, how big their habit was, how many cars they've stolen. And I'm just like, see, that's not me. That's not me. And I listened to people's stories. I wasn't listening for any solution. Now, maybe the solution was offered. And if it was offered, I certainly wasn't listening for it. My ears were shut to that. I was not open-minded to that. But what I did listen to was people's stories. And I compared my way out. I compared my way out. And I said, now I know when I get that bad, then I know I can come back to a place like this. Again, thinking that it's up to me. Thinking that I have any power over the day that I show up in detox. So I leave that detox with the plan. How many people left the detox with the plan? How'd it work? Mine didn't work. Mine didn't work, and today, thank God for that, you know. But my plan didn't work, and I went back out. I left that detox living under the delusion that I'm going to be able to control and maintain again. And I left there, and that summer, going into that winter, I caused a whole bunch more trouble, a whole bunch more heartache on my family. You know, lied a whole bunch more times, caused myself a whole bunch more harm. And in February of 1998, February 3rd, 1998, Mom and Dad had it with me again. And they said, Brian, when we come back from work, we want you out of the house. We don't want your problems anymore. No more. Please, leave us alone. You know? Now, here's my mom and dad, who are suffering from my alcoholism. I mean, Christ, they make a six-pack last a week between both of them. You know what I mean? But they're suffering from my alcoholism. They're uncomfortable in their house that they're making payments on. In their sacred place where they want to come home and relax. And I'm making that uncomfortable for them. And shame on me when I used to sit there and say, I'm not hurting anyone else. Oh, they just don't understand. You know? And thank you, God, I don't live under that delusion today. Most of the time. February 3rd, 1998, I was hitting the streets again. Strung out again. Drunk again. And now it's like I'm trying to run the wheels and you know, it's just like in Bill Wilson's story in the Big Book where his whole life is gone to hell again. He's burned his life down to the ground again, and he starts to get the wheels spinning when the heat's on his back, you know, and his wheels are spinning, and there's just nothing coming up. There's nothing there. And then he just comes to this realization where he's just like, holy crap, I got nothing. There's nowhere for me to go. There's nowhere for me to go. What the hell am I going to do? You know? And it was just like, none of my friends had apartments, so there was no couches to sleep on. I was just like, you know, maybe I'll hit the highway. I'll go hitchhike down to Daytona. I'll stay down on the beaches all winter long. That'll be great. I won't call my mom and dad, so they'll think I'm dead and they'll feel bad. Oh my God, the crap that goes through my head. And then the other thought popped in. Why don't I go to detox? Why don't I try to get into detox? And I started to make some calls that day. I think an amend just popped into my mind. I probably owe my neighbors an amend, my parents' neighbors an amend. I remember just banging on their door in the middle of the day, can I please use your phone, can I please use your phone? And I probably scared the woman half to death, you know. But I remember making a bunch of phone calls to try to connect to a detox, and later on that night, I ended up in Framingham. Framingham's just a little bit outside of Boston. I ended up in Framingham detox. I was placed there. It had nothing to do with me. Because if it had anything to do with me, how come I didn't get in there before? You know what I mean? How come I didn't think up in my bright mind, geez, maybe now would be a better time to get into detox? You know? But something outside of self found it fit for me to end up in detox. And I was going into detox. I'm like, all right, you know, I'll get some medications in me. I'll get well. Let me think for a few days on what I'm going to do next. Again, thinking mind. Always going, never stopping, just working on me all the time. And just taking other people hostage. You know? And I get into that detox, and I'm just like, and I get into intake, and I'm just like, so, what do you got? You got the methadone, you got the and they're just like, no, we get Davon, which is like a Motrin 800. And I'm just like, oh, Christ. You know, and it's like, and I sat in that detox and suffered. And thank God. Again, you know, it's like, why question it? You know what I mean? That's where I was supposed to be. You know? And it was a painful detox. And my head was spinning. And I couldn't shut the head down. And I couldn't close my eyes. I couldn't fall asleep. I'd watch the sun go down. Watch the sun come up. Counting cinder blocks on the wall. Just trying to slow my head down so I can stop thinking about myself. All I wanted to do was just get relief. You know? And my God offered me Alcoholics Anonymous, which is a whole bunch more than relief. My journey was to begin, you know. I didn't know that February 4th, 1998 was to be my separation date from alcohol and other substances. I didn't know. If it was up to me, and if I had my way, maybe you'd have a different speaker right now. I don't know. But man, you know, when it talks about in the fifth chapter of Alcoholics Anonymous, where it talks about some of these steps we've balked, my God, I can write a whole chapter on balking. You know, it's like I did not take to these steps. You know what I mean? It's like I didn't come into Alcoholics Anonymous looking for a spiritual awakening. You know, the first thing wasn't on my mind to look for a power outside of self that was going to solve all my problems. You know, sign me up. I cannot wait to make amends and write a fourth step. Like, I looked at your 12-step shade, and I was just like, you got to be kidding me. What the hell does any of this have to do with getting sober? Like I said, I listened before in that other detox, and I thought I listened so well. And I thought it was all about just parking my ass in a chair, drinking your coffee, eating your donuts, listening for an hour and a half, when meetings used to be an hour and a half, and that was it. Throw a dollar in the basket, and off I go, living on self-propulsion. Yeah, and that's what I thought it was all about. And when I read those steps, and I see, you know, God, the next one, God, oh man, the next one, God, I'm like, what does God have anything to do with getting sober? What does God have anything to do with a meeting in the basement of a church? Like, what is that? And today, it's like, I don't fool myself, and today I tell the truth to the newcomer. God has everything to do with this. Your higher power has everything to do with me being here, with you being here, with everything to do with this moment. That's my opinion. That's my experience. Not an opinion. And I looked at those steps, and man, I was just ready for a fight. I was ready for a struggle. You know, and little by slow, I started to take to it. I remember one of the suggestions that the counselor gave me in the detox was, kid, I don't care if you believe or not believe. You just hit your knees and start asking for help from something, because obviously you're not getting the help that you need. And I just started to hit my knees, and I started to ask for help, and I started to build on a prayer life. And I remember very simply, my first prayer was, God help. I don't know what I'm praying to. I feel like I'm lying. I don't know what I'm praying to. I don't know if this is going to work. But please, just something be different. Please, something be different. I was just praying for something different from the place that I was in. And I believe that my God heard my prayer. Because I'll tell you, today my life is different. Today my life is a lot different. I was a 23-year-old kid sitting in that Framingham detox, a little punk. I thought I knew everything because I traveled all around and, you know, sold a couple of hits of acid. And you know what I mean? It's like, I thought I knew so much. And really, it's like I was just a 23-year-old kid, just terrified, afraid to live, afraid to change. You know, and my God had bigger plans for me. And I didn't know that I was on the journey. Man, I was on. And, but my road to recovery was not easy. Like I said, it was a struggle. And you know what? Today, sometimes it still is. Sometimes it still is a bit of a struggle. You know what I mean? I still question my God. You know? Sometimes I have trouble with my faith. Sometimes I'll say a prayer, and I'll ask to be removed from self, and all of a sudden I get off my knees, and it's like, I'm engulfed by self again. You know what I mean? It's like, I still struggle a little bit. But my path to change to God was, it was laid out just the way it was supposed to be. You know, I eventually ended up running into this man. He became my sponsor. And you know what? Like, he didn't tiptoe around the issue. You know what I mean? He was very clear on what the deal was. His experience is that his sponsor got him connected to a God. He got connected to the God, practiced those principles laid out in those 12 steps, and he had that psychic change. He had his spiritual awakening and continues to have spiritual awakenings. And that's what works for him. And he was very clear on his purpose, was to carry to me that same message. Kid, this is what worked for me. If you want it, I'll give it all to you. If you don't want it and you want something else, God be with you. But you're going to have to find it elsewhere. You know? So when I sat there and said, oh, I don't want to do the steps tonight. I want to go skating. He was like, you probably shouldn't. But if you really want to, whatever. Go right ahead. All right, I'll go to the meeting with you. You know what I mean? It's like, that's how it was at first, you know? But little by slow, I started to practice those principles laid out in those steps. I started to try to work those principles. And some of them I grabbed a hold of. And others, I mean, my God, today I still balk on them, you know? I still have amends that I need to make for my drinking in the past, you know? Today I still make mistakes in sobriety, you know? I got involved in the 12 steps through a thing in Boston called the AWOL programs. It's the Alcoholics Anonymous way of life. I think it's a great introduction to the 12 steps, but it's not exactly the way it's laid out in the big book. You know, but my sponsor was an AWOL junkie. He got me involved in those AWOLs, and I started to take those principles, you know, take those exercises to the best of my ability. And what I learned for me was that how am I doing on time? Throw this on me when I start to wrap up almost. what happened to me was I went through those AWOLs and I took those steps to the best of my willingness and I got power and I started to get results. I saw my life changing. Not only were other people seeing around me before I could see it, but now I started to see it. Now I started to feel a difference. And I was just like, damn, you know, this is working. I want to stay. You know, I want to stick around for a little while longer. And then it's like I get a medallion. It's like, oh man, I want another one. You know, and it's like, and then all of a sudden it's like, some kid asked me to sponsor him because I, you know, and I was just like, oh, I don't know, man. But, you know, it's like, God bless him, he's still alive today. You know what I mean? It's like, But you know, it's like little things started to happen in my life, which just kept me wanting to come back around. And that's the cool thing about this. You know, I remember coming into Alcoholics Anonymous thinking like, another meeting. Let me write out a 4-step so I can kick the shit out of myself. You know what I mean? It's like, and you know what? Like, that's not the message that I carry. And if you're new in this hall tonight, Let me tell you that that's not Alcoholics Anonymous. That sobriety, that recovery is not a struggle. That this is not a struggle. It doesn't have to be a struggle. That is not an uphill battle and that we don't have to fight the fight. Like, you can surrender when you want to. It's okay. You can let go. And if you trust your God that you come to believe in the second step, if you trust that God, you can let go. And he's got your back, you know? But I started to get results that I was enjoying. And man, I just stuck around. But for me, and I can see it today through my experience from the past, I can see it today is that I need to continue growing. I need to continue having new experiences. I need to continue having that first step experience, where I need to stop controlling certain areas of my life. My story is, some years into recovery, I took charge in certain areas of my life. You know, God, I'll give you my drinking problem. I'll give you my drugging problem. I'll give you that part. But let me take care of my financial. Let me take care of my relationship. Let me take, you know, I got your back. You know, God, let me take care of this. Let me show you how good I'm doing. You know, and I wasn't really having any new experiences. I was doing an AWOL, I'd wrap up an AWOL, and I would go to a 12-step meeting, and I would sit in a 12-step meeting until another AWOL would start. And then, maybe the heat would get on me, like I'd start feeling a little restless and irritable, and I'd be like, let me jump back into another AWOL. And it's like charging up my battery, like a little bit of maintenance, you know? But, you know, these steps aren't for maintenance. These steps are for growth, you know? And I just kept on maintaining, No new experiences, no new experiences. And I just kept on taking little pieces of my life back, forgetting what got me so right. And God has a funny way of waking me up, you know. And all of a sudden, the best way to put it, and I read this in a book by Anthony DeMello, you know, that, you know, for so long I'll keep it on myself. For so long, I can go through life sleeping, dreaming that I'm awake, you know. And today, that makes crystal clear sense, you know. Excuse me. A whole bunch of situations happened in my life that really woke me up, you know, and it leveled me. It leveled me. And I got really humbled quick. And I just found myself at a place where I felt so alone. I felt like I failed. I was loaded with self-pity. And how can this happen to me? God, how can this happen to me? I'm 8 years sober. How can this happen to me? How can I feel so low at 8 years sober? What is going on? And my higher power woke me up to a whole new, whatever you want to call it, you know, a whole new level of existence, you know. What happened to me was I dived back into Alcoholics Anonymous, seeking a new experience this time. A friend of mine was living in Boston. He moved down from Vermont, and he was living in Boston at the time. And he'd been through this thing called the Big Book. Now here I am, 8 years sober, and it's like, I've flipped through the book a few times, read a couple of stories in the back. I remember the jaywalking story, so it's like, I could tell you all about the jaywalker and the progression of the disease, but it's like, you ask me what page step one is on, and I'm just like, next. You know, it's so what happened was, I was leveled, and I needed to seek some power, and I needed it quick. I needed it fast, because I tell you, I was in a bad place. And it's just like the third step. It's just like how the third step asks us to make a decision. It asks me to make a decision. Show up. Brian, can you show up? Can you show up? That's all I need for you to do is just show up. I got everything for you. It's like going onto a job site. I show up on a job site, and my boss says, I just need you to go up to the third floor. The elevator lobby needs painting up there. Oh, well, should I bring this? Should I bring that? Don't worry. Just go up to the third floor elevator lobby. The paint's there. The drop cloths are there. Everything is up there. I just need you to show up. Can you just show up? Yeah, I can show up. You know? And at that moment in my life, my God was asking me, Brian, just show up. I got everything there for you. Everything you need and then some. And I grabbed a hold of this, and so recovery took a whole different level. I jumped into this Big Book like I've never read it before. You know, what happened was, at the time, I was listening to some speaker CDs, and I really took to the Joe and Charlie CDs. I love the way they talk about the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they really break it down in the simplest of forms, which made it very easy for me to follow along. And I would listen to those CDs, and I would just flip them, and they'd say, turn to that page. I'd be like, oh, and I turn to that page. I'd be like, oh, that's what they're talking about. And I started to have my experience like that. And then I would bounce things off my friends. And then little by slow, my friends started to get taken to the book. And it was like this whole like level of recovery started off where we all just got so fired up over Alcoholics Anonymous. And next thing you knew, it's like I completely forgot about that hole that I was in because now I was starting to cause harm. I mean, I'll just put it out truthfully. I was walking into Big Book meetings, I was walking into open speaker meetings with my Big Book, and it's just like sharpening the edges, like getting ready to throw it at people like Chinese stars. You know what I mean? It's like, what do you mean that's not in the book? And I'm getting up to podiums, I'm causing resentments, and it's like, I got the best of intentions. All I want to do is share in the book. But I'm not making it look attractive at all. I'm making people walk out of meetings. I mean, let's be honest. You know, today, thank God, it's not like that. I don't think. I don't know, where have you been, Boston, a few years ago? If you were, I'm sorry. But what happened was, I grabbed a hold of this, like the drowning sees the life preservers. And I grabbed a hold of this thing, and I got connected to God. I mean, I plugged in to a power that works, you know. And it's like, just like the way I kept on trying to plug into alcohol. It's like plugging into an outlet that used to work, and that outlet gets shot. But I keep on plugging into that outlet, thinking I'm going to get power from that outlet. And my mind keeps on telling me, this time will work, this time will work, this time will work. You know? And this time I plugged into God, and that power outlet worked. And I just kept on plugging in and plugging in. Each day I just kept on plugging in. And, you know, when it talks about being brought to the fourth, being rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence. Man, like, I know what he was talking about when he wrote that. Like, I know that feeling. Or when it talks about in the second step, being restored to sanity. Man, I know what that feels like now. Like, this sometimes, I'm at that place, you know? And that's, like I said, when I came around, that first prayer, I said, I just want something to be different. And today is different, you know? I don't know what's better. I don't know what's worse. I don't know what's good. I don't know what's bad. And my sixth and seventh step, I've stopped trying to decide that. Most of the time, what I think was good for me turns out to be bad. Most of the time, what I think was bad for me turns out to be really, really, really good. I'll tell you, man, this, if you haven't had an experience with this stuff yet, and if what I'm seeing up here tonight sounds like complete gibberish, you know, we can talk. We can sit back and talk for a little while. You know what I mean? I would love to share with you what's been going on and what continues to go on. You know, if you haven't had an experience with this, you know, please, please do so. You know, if you look at that 12-step shade and it looks like, you know, what the hell? Like, it looks like another language. Like, I can relate, man. I can relate. You know, But how will, it's like that little saying right at the end, the contempt prior to investigation. You know, I looked at those 12 steps and I was just like, there's no way that stuff's going to work for me. There's no way. There's no way this program's going to work for me. All right, I'll try those 12 steps and I'll prove yous all wrong. You know, And it's just like, I think usually it's like, we don't realize that, like, the steps work until we've gone through it and they've worked. And they continue to work. And it's like, oh, shit, man, I should have did that a long time ago. You know, I've stopped trying to fight it. You know what I mean? I've stopped trying to fight it. You know, every day is different. Every situation is different. Every moment is different. You know what I mean? It's like, I still have the same mind, but today I just think a little bit different. I still have the same eyes, but today I just see things a little different. I still have the same heart, but today I love just a little different. I feel just a little different. You know, I was talking about a minute ago about getting connected and having an experience with the 12 steps. You know, if you're the real deal alcoholic and you've been trying a million other things, another detox, another halfway house. Oh, let me try another halfway house. Let me try a Suboxone program. You know what I mean? It's like, let me try a million other things. But God forbid I look at those 12 steps. God forbid I do a little bit of character building. God forbid I get connected to a power outside of myself and try to turn things all over to the Father of Light who presides over us all. Like, God forbid I try any of that. You know? Like, what if you are a real deal alcoholic? And I'm not going to make that, I won't brand anyone in here alcoholic. But what if you are? And what if your answer does lie in those 12 steps? But you'll never know. But you'll never know until you have your experience. And I could sit up here and man, I could share a million things with you. But all it is just stuff that's worked for me. Yeah? But until you have your experience and the light comes on in your eyes and your soul catches fire, and all of a sudden it's just like you get allowed back into your mother and father's house. All of a sudden your little sister looks at you in the eyes again. And she says, man, I never want to see you in that place again. All of a sudden, when a cat comes up to you and says, you know, I want what you got. What's going on in your life? I want to hear more what you got to say. Like, what did you do? Or if your little sister has a child and asks you to be the godfather and asks you to show up, you know? I love Alcoholics Anonymous, you know what I mean? I love being a part of this deal. You know, before I thought it was all about me running the show, me being number one. I gotta be the number one man. I gotta be the top dog. You know, and today I realized that Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't run on me. You know what I mean? That I could be a small part of a great whole. And I'm very content being that. And that there's no ladder to climb in Alcoholics Anonymous. That the highest, the most highest position we can reach in Alcoholics Anonymous is a trusted servant. How cool is that? Man, how cool is that? You know, to live a life of service, to live a life full of purpose. You know, how cool is that? And if none of that stuff makes sense to you, or if that stuff sounds kind of boring to you, you know, please, let's sit back and talk, you know. I don't know how I'm doing on time, but 8 minutes? Alright, cool. Trying to plug in some more power here. How is it that stuff like this happens? You know what I mean? How is it that stuff like this happens where, you know, where me and my girlfriend, you know, I ran into Chase a few months ago up at a convention in Vermont, and he's just like, I'm booking you. And I'm just like, me? Yeah. Alright. Like, first of all, how is it like that, you know? Talk about some power right there. You know, where it's my purpose. It's my primary purpose. It says it right in the big book. You know, God's empowered me to help others. It makes it pretty clear. Do I believe it or not? You know? But like, how is it that cool stuff like this gets to happen? You know, show up and do stuff like this. Where me and my girlfriend come down and hang out around Philly. And I could walk around Philly and man, just be totally free. That's the best way to put it. To just be totally free. And I got caught up a few times during the weekend where I want to go do this. I want to go do that. Oh, can we go over here? There's a skate spot over here. Let's go over here. And all of a sudden it's like, God's like, hey, wake up. It's not all about you. Alright, you know, this is not a power that was born in self, because if that power was just born of self, like, I wouldn't need to be here tonight, you know what I mean? I wouldn't need to come out and try to carry a message, to try to be of service. I wouldn't need to do any of this stuff. It's just like if Alcoholics Anonymous was just about not drinking and not drugging a day at a time, Guess what? You can handcuff me to a tree out there in the field somewhere, and I can go not drink and not drug for a day at a time. Just sitting out there in the field by myself, handcuffed to a tree. That will work too. You know? But that's not what this is about. That's not what this is about. For me, in my experience, Alcoholics Anonymous is all about getting connected to a power which will help me not only to get through a day drinking drug-free, but to be of service to the people around me. Think of all the prayers that we talk about. Think about almost all those steps. Think about all the traditions, too, how it talks about being of service, being of service, being of service, helping others. I mean, oh my God, it talks about helping others in the third step prayer. That's at the third step, never mind going all the way to the 12th step where it says, now we try to carry a message. Like, my God's lining me up right from the beginning to get me out on the firing line, to carry a message, and to put someone in with a vision of hope. It doesn't tell me to wait forever. It doesn't tell me to wait a couple of years. There's people dying daily. Some people get the message. Some people don't hear it at all. You know, I love it. Earl Hightower says it. You know, each day there's a new wave of insanity crashing on the shore of Alcoholics Anonymous. Am I going to show up and greet them or not? You know? And if the whole deal is about destruction of selfishness and self-centeredness, I better get my ass out on the firing line. I better stop thinking of self. You know? I better go out there and be of service. You know? And that's how this stuff gets to happen. You know, that's how we get to sit here and be like this, all collected together to tap into a power that works. You know, I don't think any of you came out here tonight to hear me tell some jokes. You know what I mean? Maybe there's a comedy club in town somewhere. We can go do that there. You know, but in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, let's carry a message. You know, let's carry him. Let's pull him in with a vision of hope. You know, let's let the suffering addict and alcoholic know that there is a way out of no way out. Let's let the person know who's been around Alcoholics Anonymous for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, who hasn't had a new experience. Let them know that we can get fired up at any given moment. You know? All we gotta do is be willing. That there is no limit to this. That we can have a new experience, and a new experience, and a new experience. You know? People say, sky's the limit. No. There is no limit. You know, we can continue to grow. There's no roof to this, no ceiling to this. Again, I want to thank you. I want to thank you all for being here with me tonight, and I want to thank your group for inviting me to come down here and to try to carry a message. Thank you.